Okay, so I'm going to take his leftover minutes and his leftover 30 seconds.
No, you can't roll things over here.
No. Can you go to number four, please?
You get 10 minutes starting now.
Because this is an important one. Who likes making money? No hands. Okay, who wants to make more money in their apps? All right, well, believe it or not, we found there's a direct correlation to high-quality apps and how much money you make. So what I want to talk about next is 5 tips and tricks for better design of your application. Okay, tip number one, make the best use of the controls available to you. Now, with Windows 10, we have something new that we're doing. We're not pushing patterns on you. We're not saying that you have to do things in a particular way. We're not telling you that you have to have boxes laid out in a row or anything. We're also not pushing controls. We're not saying that you have to use a hub and spoke. We're not saying that you have to use a pivot. What we are doing is we want to leave the door open for you to create the best experience you can. So that's what we're pushing, is great experiences. If that means using the controls we provide, we're glad to have you do that. If that means using the controls that you're building yourself, please continue to do that. The important thing is that we have great experiences for the users. Now, there are a lot of great controls out there with Windows 10. Things like relative panels and split views, pivot and table, something that has been very popular on phones before. And you can even continue to use some of the ones like a command bar that we've had in the past. The idea is that you can pick the right one for the job. You may use a different one on one device than another. The second thing is design in effective pixels. Now, we have great scaling algorithm already for our phones. So what that means to you is that as a developer, you're going to use effective pixels for XAML and CSS pixels for the HTML. So you, when you use the controls, you'll just use a single control and we'll appropriately size them for the different density of screens that are being used. So you may want a really small control just because there's a high density of the screen. You no longer need to worry about that. You write to the effective pixels and we'll translate it to the proper screen pixels. Now the scaling algorithm is based on a 4x4 scale. So when you build your own components and you have your own content, keep in mind that it will always be scaled by 4x4. Again, all the values in XAML that you use are effective pixels. In CSS and HTML, all the values that you use there will be CSS pixels. If you want to get started and want a little bit of help, design.windows.com has templates for you of the existing controls, and it gives you templates to build your own controls as well. Tip number three, start small. We often have developers ask us, should I start my design with a large screen, or should I start my design with a small screen, or something in the middle, and then build out both ways? Our recommendation is to start with a small screen. It's often most difficult to build a design for a small screen, so we suggest that you start there, and then build your design up for other platforms. Now, what screen sizes should you do design for? We recommend getting started with a 5-inch phone, 8-inch tablet, and a 13-inch laptop. Those are kind of the sweet spots for designs. And then if you want to have additional use cases to handle some other scenarios, you can. Now, if you're also planning to have your app work on larger screens, like the Surface Hub or an Xbox, we then also recommend you throw in for testing a 40-inch TV and an 84-inch hub. Now we have many standard responsive adaptive techniques that you should take advantage of. The first one is repositioning your content. In some scenarios, you're going to have content that on one screen will be above one above the other. On a larger screen, you may lay that content out side by side. Feel comfortable repositioning your content for different screen sizes and shapes. The second thing is resize. Sometimes content might simply be larger, and different portions of the page may resize at different ratios. So you might have an image that stretches across your entire page in one. You might just simply stretch it down to cross the page on another size screen. The third thing is to reflow your content. This is especially effective for text, If you have a page that has multiple columns when it's laid out on a larger screen, you generally want to reflow that to go into fewer or even one column on a smaller screen. Something that fits the behavior of the users on those devices. The number four is to reveal content. Feel free to have some content that is hidden. The non-essential content can be hidden on one device and then revealed on larger devices where there's more space. Use the screen size and all the real estate of the screen when you have additional content to show. Replace. There's sometimes when you may use completely different controls or completely different content in one screen than another. Feel free to do that, mix and match the controls as you see fit. If you think that a hamburger menu is better on one size screen and maybe a pivot is better on another size screen, feel free to interchange the controls to meet your screens. Rearchitect. Sometimes you just need to have completely different versions for different screen sizes. And you can go ahead and do that. Feel free to use different HTML or XAML files depending on the screen. The adaptive triggers in the CSS
media
queries. Oh my gosh, the XAML guys help me out. This is a long day.
You look tired.
The media queries will respond and change that content even if you have different content in place. The last one, or number four, excuse me, is use your own color. I can't tell you how many times I've opened a Windows app and seen a black app with white boxes on it. Although that may look very metro, we're now thinking Windows 10, it's better to use the branding of your app or your company inside the application. So don't feel like you are limited on the colors that you use. You want to make your app stand out. You don't want it to necessarily look like every other application in the store. If you're not a designer, that's okay. There's some resources for you. Color.adobe.com and colorlovers.com have palettes that you can use to choose your colors. Now, the great thing is if you're a non-designer like me, you can actually go there and find out which colors go together. Although I feel like I'm pretty good at color coordinating, blue always matches blue, that might not be the best option for your website. So go here and it'll give you a palette of colors that will always work well together and look well together. Okay, number five and the last one. It's probably the most important one. Think about design before you start your coding. You don't want to develop your application and then have design be the last step. Because you'll find in order to do that right, you'll be doing a lot of re-architecting. And also, once the design is started, don't stop there. Feel free to go back and continually develop the design as you develop. Now, here's a good example. Here's two applications that are both news applications. One looks like a well-branded news application. One looks like an application I would rather go to for the joke of the day. Now you want to make sure that your applications are properly branded, not only to match your company or your developer brand, but also the type of content that you're trying to reach the user with. People will judge you by the quality of your application. They'll judge your app that way. And you want to get a 4 or 5 star application, have to realize that people like nice apps. So more resources are at design.windows.com. So that's been 5 design tips in under 10 minutes.
Yeah.
All right. 9 minutes. Thank you.